Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, another report about Le'Veon Bell and this transition tag thing. This time, a report that what the Steelers are planning to do with Le'Veon Bell may actually be against the collective bargaining agreement. We'll talk about that today. We'll also talk about Pro Football Focus's list of the top 50 free agents and which of those free agents the Steelers can realistically be expected to be interested in this offseason. Of course, I know we want the big names in Pittsburgh. The Steelers very rarely go out and get the big names. I think that's going to be the case again. But there are still going to be some names out there that the Steeler fans should pay attention to, especially given the cap space the Steelers have this offseason. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that like button. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. And you can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with some news and notes. The Steelers making their final coaching change of the offseason, what I think is their final coaching change of the offseason. They have hired Adrian Clem as their new assistant offensive line coach. So remember, Sean Serrett, who was the assistant offensive line coach, he became the full-time offensive line coach now with Mike Munchak going off to Denver. So there was a opening there for a new assistant offensive line coach. That job goes to Adrian Clem. Clem had played in the NFL. He was an offensive lineman back from 2000 to 2005, played for the New England Patriots and Green Bay Packers, won three Super Bowl titles with the New England Patriots back in the day. He then went on to coach in the college ranks, and this is another example of the Steelers picking their new coaches, these new position coaches, from the college ranks. They did that last year with Tom Bradley and Carl Dunbar. They did it this year with the running back, Eddie Faulkner, the new running back coach, got him from NC State, and now they get Adrian Clem, who was most recently at UCLA, as their run game coordinator, offensive line coach there. So the Steelers really looking to the college ranks to bring in position coaches. Adrian Clem will be the new assistant offensive line coach to Sean Serrett. The Steelers signed two new players to their 90-man roster, the first of which Robert Spillane, a linebacker, had most recently played for the Tennessee Titans. He played all the way through their training camp process, made the practice squad for them, and was promoted to the 53 for a couple weeks there. He's promoted during that Baltimore Ravens game, was subsequently cut a couple weeks later. The Steelers will bring him in as a linebacker. We'll see how he can do throughout the minicamp, OTA, and maybe even in a training camp. And then the other player is running back Malik Williams, who most recently played for the Atlanta Falcons. He was cut during training camp with a shoulder injury. So the Steelers adding two new players to their 90-man roster. And then the final thing here in news and notes, maybe not necessarily Steeler-related, maybe tangentially Steeler-related here, and that is that Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray will participate in the combine later this month. There had been some speculation a week ago, and really this is caused by Kyler Murray himself and kind of dodging questions, especially in that really awkward interview he had on the Dan Patrick Show, where he would not answer questions about whether or not he was going to be participating in the combine, whether or not he'd have a pro day. You know, does Kyler Murray want to play football? He's made himself eligible for the draft, but he still has the option to play baseball. And you're talking about a quarterback who could be a top five, top 10 pick. All of a sudden, you've got these questions about whether or not the guy even wants to play football. So now you have the news that he will be participating in the combine. There's a long way to go here to figure out whether or not Kyler Murray will in fact be a first-round pick. The hope here for the Steelers is that he does become a first-round pick, right? That he puts this kind of baseball thing behind him. You know, he's gonna participate in this combine. He'll have a pro day in all likelihood, and hopefully he does well there. You know, for the Steelers, it helps them if quarterbacks go high. So you want to see guys like Will Grier and Drew Locke and those guys kind of get their name up there. We know Haskins will in all likelihood be taken in the first round and before the Steelers pick, which will push another player down closer to the Steelers. We just want to see more quarterbacks going in those top 20 picks so that a better player falls to the Steelers at 20. We talked yesterday about the Le'Veon Bell situation and the fact that the Steelers are going to use this transition tag in an effort to trade Le'Veon Bell, not in an effort to keep him for one more year, even in the long term, by agreeing to whatever or matching whatever deal Le'Veon gets in the open market. They want to trade him. They want to trade Le'Veon Bell to get some compensation in 2019, not wait until 2020 and see whatever compensatory pick the NFL gives them. But now we have a report from Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio, who says that plan may actually violate the CBA. The CBA says that anyone who uses the franchise tag or transition tender must have a good faith intention to employ that player at that price, and the Steelers do not, right? The Steelers are going to be using a transition tag that in all likelihood is going to cost them about $15 million or $14.5 million while that tag is in place, although they want to kind of tag and trade him in the same day, so minimal counting against their cap. But that violates the CBA, right? You can't just tag and trade a player that goes against that. And the Eagles are dealing with a very similar situation with Nick Foles. And Nick Foles is about to hit free agency. The Eagles, you know, they're going to use the franchise tag on Nick Foles, which will cost them $25 million. Now, do they have any intention of keeping Nick Foles at $25 million to be a backup quarterback? Of course not. They want to tag him and trade him the same as the Steelers want to do with Le'Veon Bell. But what's going to end up happening here, probably in both instances, if this is the case, is instead of a tag and trade scenario, you're going to end up with a tag and grievance situation where, you know, Adisa Bakari and Le'Veon Bell are going to file a grievance against the Steelers and this plan. And so, you know, that just means that the Steelers are going to end up holding this $14.5 million of their salary cap hostage again while they wait for that grievance to play out. And let's say it works in their favor and they can trade him, fine, but then you missed out potentially on some free agents in the open market. And then, you know, if they lose it, well, then, I mean, that's the worst case scenario because, you know, yes, you have your cap space back, but you know, you're not going to get any. You're not going to get any compensation for Le'Veon Bell, and you still missed out on those free agents. So this may be more. This may do more harm than good here with the Le'Veon Bell thing. Look, we've been dealing with the Le'Veon Bell situation for 3 years now. The kind of will he, won't he sign? Then he skips out all of last year, and it should be over and done with. I get that the Steelers are trying to get something out of this. You want to get some sort of compensation for Le'Veon, especially considering now what's happening with AB and the fact that, you know, he doesn't seem long for this team. And at this point, it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of trade value there anymore, given his on and off the field problems. You have to wonder if this is going to have to be something that the Steelers work out with Adisa Bakari and Le'Veon Bell to get them on board so that they don't file a grievance, because otherwise this plan is going to blow up in their face, just like this, kind of like this Le'Veon Bell thing has, this thing has, you know, time after time. And then finally today, let's go over the list of the top 50 NFL free agents. This list, according to Pro Football Focus, I want to talk about some of the players the Steelers can realistically be expected to be interested in this offseason. Of course, we talked about the salary cap space that they're going to have, and if they want to, they can certainly go out and make a splash. Now, I do want to preface this discussion by saying, you know, a splash for the Steelers is different than a splash for other teams, right? You know, let's start at the top of this list. DeMarcus Lawrence, the edge rusher from the Dallas Cowboys, one of the best young pass rushers in the league. He's 27 years old, prime of his career, double-digit sack guy year after year. He's a fantastic player. I don't even think he's going to hit the open market, but let's say he did, right? I think he's going to get franchised by the Dallas Cowboys, but let's say that he does hit the open market. The Steelers are never going after a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence because the contract that he's going to get is going to be an absurd one. A bunch of guaranteed money, big money deal, many, many years. There's just no way the Steelers are going to break the mold that much. And while they might go out there and spend more money than we're used to, you know, right now they're spending $4.5 to $5 million tops per year on a player. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be looking at like triple that per year or more. There's no way the Steelers are going to be doing that. Yeah, I think, look, you look at the contract that Joe Hayden got, $9 to $10 million a year. I think that's the more realistically the type of contract the Steelers could give to one of these quote-unquote big-name free agents that we're going to bring in this offseason. And so that rules out DeMarcus Lawrence. That likely rules out a guy like Trey Flowers, Dee Ford, Jadeveon Clowney, Brandon Graham, all these big-name pass rushers that are going to be out there. They're all going to get big deals. I mean, a lot of those guys are going to get franchised anyway. So you have a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence. He'll get franchised by the Dallas Cowboys. I think you look at Dee Ford. He'll get franchised by the Kansas City Chiefs. Jadeveon Clowney, same thing with the Houston Texans. And then that kind of dries up the edge rush market in general, and it's going to drive up the cost for the players that do hit the open market. So when you talk about edge rushers that I think the Steelers could, you know, realistically have a chance at, I mean, you have to go all the way down Pro Football Focus's list. You know, Shaq Barrett, the 22nd player on this list, potentially could be a guy the Steelers are interested in. You continue down this list. They have Preston Smith at 29, Za'Darius Smith at 32. I mean, again, Ziggy Ansah at 37. I think when you look at the Dante Fowler at 43, I think when you look at the edge rush position in the offseason here, Cam Wake at 50. Cam Wake's an interesting player, although he'll be 37 next season. I think when you look at the edge rush position, I just don't see a way the Steelers are going to sign a player here. Again, the idea here in signing an edge rusher in free agency would be that you can then cut Bud Dupree, right? And you save the, it's essentially saving $9 million of Bud Dupree and applying it to this edge rusher. In that way, I guess you could make an argument that they spend more money. I just don't think they're going to spend the amount of guaranteed money they're going to need. So then I go to the linebacker position, inside linebacker. Now, that things get a little more interesting there because there's a name that's been brought up a lot of times in Pittsburgh, and that is C.J. Mosley, the inside linebacker from the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Mosley's a player the Steelers know very well because they play him twice a year. They play the Baltimore Ravens twice a year. C.J. Mosley's been a fantastic inside linebacker for the Ravens for many years now. Mosley's a guy who, you know, he's the kind of playmaker that the Steelers have missed on the inside. He's been the kind of playmaker for the Ravens that the Steelers have missed on the inside since losing Ryan Shazier. I think the Steelers are going to take a hard look at Mosley. Doesn't sound like the Ravens are going to be able to keep Mosley this offseason. I think if the Steelers are going to kind of quote-unquote break the bank for anybody, I think C.J. Mosley should certainly be on that list. Another guy that keeps getting brought up in Pittsburgh is Tyrann Mathieu because of his versatility in the secondary. I talked yesterday about the Steelers wanting to upgrade at safety or should want to upgrade at safety. You got Morgan Burnett who wants out, right? So you've already got a hole there anyway. Tyrann Mathieu is a nice player because he has such versatility, right? He can play the safety spots or he can play that dime linebacker spot. I mean, he can play corner at times, slot corner, even play on the outside a little bit. A very, very versatile player. He'll be 27 next season. He does have some injury concerns, although that has not gotten the Steelers off players in the past. They brought in Vance McDonald, who had his own injury concerns. Of course, Morgan Burnett last year and the injury concerns he had, and then those played out throughout the year. So usually injuries don't bring the Steelers off of a player. I think Tyrann Mathieu could be a player the Steelers are interested in if they do look at safety. Now, at corner, you got an interesting corner class. Pro Football Focus ranks Ronald Darby at number 10 on the entire open market. Now, he's a 25-year-old corner. He was very, very good in the Eagles' Super Bowl run. I didn't like what he did last year. I didn't like the entire Eagles secondary last year. I don't know that I'm a big believer in Ronald Darby. I have to watch more of his tape if the Steelers are going to go in that direction. You continue down their list. I think the next player is the corner from the Chicago Bears. Yeah, Bryce Callahan, cornerback. I don't expect Callahan's actually going to hit the open market. I expect the Bears and how good that secondary was a year ago are going to want to keep a lot of those players. I think Bryce Callahan stays in Chicago. He's a slot corner. The Steelers already have Mike Hilton. They really need help on the outside. And I don't expect that Bryce Callahan will hit the open market regardless. Kareem Jackson of the Houston Texans. Is another guy who played safety, can play a little safety, played a little slot. Very versatile player. The Steelers are definitely looking for that. Keep an eye on Kareem Jackson. Jason McCourty's been around. You know, he's been in New England, Cleveland. He's been traded around a little bit. If the Steelers wanted Jason McCourty, you have to imagine they've been offered him in the past. Again, he's a 32-year-old corner. I do think the Steelers are going to have to add a corner in free agency in addition to whoever they get in the draft. Not sure that Jason McCourty will be that guy. Anthony Barr is an interesting player. They have him ranked at 33. I think Anthony Barr is going to probably be one of those guys who gets a contract that's a little too big for the Steelers, but potentially here. He can play inside. He can also play the edge. Versatile player. The Steelers love those kinds of players. Anthony Barr may be one to keep an eye on. You got Steven Nelson at corner. Look, if the Steelers want to upgrade their cornerback position and their upgrade is to sign a guy from the Chiefs secondary, you're going in the wrong direction. KJ Wright is an interesting player at inside linebacker. Played for the Seahawks. Now, I get that. Look, he was a much better player maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and he's kind of been on the downslope. But KJ Wright, certainly a better player than the Steelers have on their roster today. He would definitely be an upgrade, although maybe not the upgrade of the future, right? You still probably want to bring in a guy. You know, I'm still holding out hope for Devin White or Mac Wilson or one of those. Although Devin Bush getting a lot of play now on draft Twitter. So we'll start doing our evaluations once we hit March. You've got Dante Fowler Bradley Roby as a cornerback, cornerback from the Denver Broncos. Now, there's a lot of hype around Bradley Roby back when he was a backup, and a lot of people were excited in Denver to get him a starting role, and Mekhi Talib left for the LA Rams. Bradley Roby did take over. Had a very disappointing year in 2018, this is another one of those players you can bring in kind of into the rotation, right? If you're looking for a player who hopefully the Steelers can get on the cheap. I don't know that Bradley Roby's going to want or going to get a big contract in free agency. Probably going to get that kind of middle-tier contract. If the Steelers want to take a shot at a guy, you know, Bradley Roby doesn't have a lot of great tape, especially in 2018. It would have to be more of a, it's a weird to say reclamation project because he's a one-year guy. But you bring in Bradley Roby, you bring him alongside whatever rookie corner you bring in, and now you've got a little bit of depth there, especially if they're able to bring back a guy like Cody Sensabaugh. I wouldn't hate to see the Steelers bring in a guy like Bradley Roby. Going down the list, we haven't talked about wide receiver yet. The two wide receivers that kind of stand out from this list are Golden Tate and John Brown. Now, this would be in a world where the Steelers have to trade Antonio Brown. I'm not in love with either guy, although John Brown, look, he's a deep threat guy. The Steelers don't have that person today unless James Washington really turns a corner. So, you know, if you're going to use Juju in the slot, you're going to have James Washington as more of a, you know, I mean, he's really, you want him to be your deep threat. But if you're going to use him more as a combat catch guy, I don't know that you want to pair James Washington with John Brown. The Steelers really have a James Washington problem. They got to figure that out. And then, you know, Golden Tate, you know, having Golden Tate and Juju on the same team, you've got, you know, I mean, Juju is kind of cut from that Golden Tate mode. I don't know that I want both those guys. I don't think there's a great free agent wide receiver that you want to bring in to replace Antonio. Of course not, right? I mean, Antonio is one of the best receivers in the league. Oh, the other wide receiver on this list, Cole Beasley. I mean, Cole Beasley, you know, they have Cole Beasley. His name is Ryan Switzer. His name is Eli Rogers. They've got very good slot receivers if they need them. So, you know, the wide receiver class in free agency, according to Pro Football Focus, in their top 50, I'm not in love with any of them. Look, I mean, Golden Tate's fine. But if the Steelers wanted to bring him in, I wouldn't hate the move, but I want a more dynamic player. I want, you know, and that's what's so special about AB is how dynamic he is. And I think you can maybe get that guy in the draft. Of course, I've talked a lot about Hakeem Butler from Iowa State. We'll see how he tests where the combine's coming up here in a couple weeks. But I think this is a pretty good wide receiver class for the Steelers. I know that the wide receiver class has been talked about a lot as being, you know, maybe not another draft of not a lot of guys at the top, but a little more deeper. You know, I like this class from what I've watched of it so far. DK Metcalf, Kelvin Harmon, Hakeem Butler. There's some decent players in this draft. I like to see the Steelers. If they're going to replace Antonio Brown, I'd hope they do so through the draft rather than in free agency, because I just don't think the players in free agency are really there. So some interesting names out there, especially on the defensive side, and then that should be exciting for Steeler fans, because that's really, I think, if the Steelers are going to go out in free agency and spend some money, I think it will be on the defensive side of the ball. You've got C.J. Mosley, I think. That one makes the most sense. Now, Sean Lee's another guy. It's not on this list because he hasn't been cut yet, but there has been reports that Sean Lee is going to be a cap casualty in Dallas with Leighton Vander Esch playing as well as he has for the Dallas Cowboys. So Sean Lee's another inside guy who the Steelers could bring in. Now, Sean Lee has his own injury concerns. He's up there in age, but those things don't usually stop the Steelers from signing a player. So look for Sean Lee as well at the inside linebacker position. And then before I go today, I do want to talk to you guys about the AAF, the new football league that's starting this weekend. Are you guys going to watch? I know this is usually the week where, you know, there's no football, right? This is the drought. This is when the drought starts. This is when withdrawal sets in. It's the first weekend of no football, but that's not going to be the case this weekend. The Alliance of American Football is starting up, an 8-team league. I know there's no football in Pittsburgh. There's no team in Pittsburgh. They kind of went to markets that don't, you know, they don't have football teams, I guess, except Atlanta. For some reason, they went to all these markets that don't have football, and then Atlanta and Arizona as well. But I don't know. I'm intrigued by this league. I like the idea, of course, of there being competition for the NFL. As you guys know, I'm not a fan of the way the NFL is run as an organization. And one of the easiest ways to fix that is to have some real competition from the outside. Not to say the AAF is ever going to be as big as the NFL, but if this league were to succeed and last until year two, we've seen these leagues, you know, these spring leagues, they come and go, right? I mean, you know, the XFL, of course, the poster boy of that many years back, but you've had the UFL in between. Just to have these leagues come and go every couple years feels like the AAF, though, it feels a little bit more substantial. Yeah, I mean, look, nothing felt more substantial than the XFL. I mean, that was backed by Vince McMahon, the WWE. You know, that felt like it could last, and that product kind of fell off a cliff very early on, and it was done after 1 year. Maybe the same thing will happen with the AAF. I hope not. I would love to see a spring league actually make it. There's actually a ton of former Steeler talent around the AAF. In fact, what I really like about this, I'm looking through the rosters, it's not a bunch of no names. Right? I mean, I recognize a lot of these names. In fact, a lot of former Steelers around the AAF. So if you're looking for a team to cheer for, I mean, there's so many that have former Steelers. Zach Mettenberger, the Steelers' former backup quarterback. He had a short stint on the Steelers, but he was the backup quarterback at one point. He's playing for the Memphis Express. That team also has Brad Wing as their punter. Remember Brad Wing? Brad Wing was the punter for a little while in Pittsburgh. Former fourth-round pick Doran Grant, who really didn't last long in Pittsburgh. He's playing for the Atlanta Irons. Justin Thomas was a practice squad receiver. He'll be playing for the Atlanta Legends as well. You've got Steve Johnson, who was an inside linebacker for the Steelers. He'll be on the Arizona Hotshots. You go to San Antonio, has some interesting players. So Dustin Vaughn, who was a training camp quarterback a couple years ago. They've got DeMarcus Ayers at wide receiver. They've got Darnell Leslie at linebacker. Remember Terrell Watson, the running back, the third running back? He's on the San Diego Fleet, along with edge rusher Travis Feeney. He'll be there. Greg Ducree, a cornerback, also on the San Diego Fleet. There's just some interesting talent around the AAF. I hope that they stick. They've also got some interesting rule changes in the AAF. So they're going to have a 35-second play clock down from 40, trying to speed up the game. They also are going to have no TV timeouts, which I'm interested to see how they pull that off. The game should flow a little better. They're going to have a referee in the booth to overturn egregiously bad calls. No kind of replay system, it sounds like. There's just going to be an official in the booth to overturn egregiously bad calls. I really like that, especially given the amount of officiating problems the NFL saw this season. They have no kickoffs. You're just going to start directly from the 25. And to fix the problem of no onside kicks, you're going to start with a 4th and 12 or 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick. Love that rule as well. There's a lot of interesting things the AAF is doing, and I hope it succeeds. You know, more competition. You're going to have the XFL coming back a year from now. They just announced that Bob Stoops is going to be the coach of their Dallas team. So Bob Stoops, a former fantastic coach at Oklahoma, he'll be a head coach in the XFL. I hope that league succeeds as well. Look, a year from now, we could be talking about there being three professional football organizations in the in America. That would be, look, I would love that so much because, and yes, I've said this a million times, I do not like the way the NFL is run, and the way to fix that is to add some competition. I know the XFL is not going to replace the NFL, and the AAF's not going to replace the NFL, but if they can just push some of these good ideas through and get the NFL to change their ways, even in a little bit, it would make the NFL better. So Saturday night, I believe the games come on at 8 Eastern time. They're going to be on CBS. Then you'll have games on Sunday as well. They'll be on NFL Network. Are you guys going to watch? I think I'm going to give it a shot this weekend. Hopefully the product is there. Hopefully the product is good, and this league can sustain for at least a couple seasons. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back on Monday for more Locked On Steelers.